You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue, White and Yellow podcast from Leeds United Live, giving you the in-depth analysis on all the big talking points from Elland Road.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Blue, White and Yellow podcast. We are back here with your pre-pod and after the international break. It's been a long slog of just waiting around for Leeds United to get back on it. But I think it's been good for the psyche, to be honest, Rob, for a lot of Leeds fans. But I'm joined by Southampton writer for Reach PLC, Robert Warlow. Robert, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. All good. And we're here to talk about the big game at the weekend, a huge game in Leeds United season, obviously Leeds versus the Saints. So, Rob, let's get straight into it. How's the season been for Southampton overall?
Yeah, I mean, fairly positive, to be honest. They've done fairly well. I've got 35 points at this point in the season. You know, a lot of people would say that might be safe already. They're looking where they are at the moment. I think people would have taken, you know, if you'd asked fans at the start of the season, they'd have taken that with nine games to go. It's a bit of disappointment that they haven't kicked on the last few weeks because they've had a bit of a dip in form. Three defeats in a row in the league, out of the FA Cup quarterfinal stage. I mean, there's no disgrace losing to Man City, but I think just four defeats in a row before the international break has kind of hit the buffers a little bit for the season. They've done well up to this point. It's just now you don't want it to sort of fizzle out because there is that danger that they're mid-table and there is, you know, nine games to go, but that could happen.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Southampton, isn't it? Because they started the season on fire, really, and it seems to have tailed off a bit. What do you think the reason behind that is, Rob?
Different things, really. I think a few players have, you know, not hit the strides of the last few weeks that they had, you know, not matched the same sort of form that they had earlier on in the season. They hit a real purple patch, really, between Christmas and sort of February, where they, you know, got points that perhaps people weren't expecting, but one at West Ham, one at Tottenham, got a point against Man City at home. I mean, the home form has been really good all season. Obviously, up to the last couple of games, they've had a couple of bad results against Newcastle and Watford in the last two. But up to that, they'd only lost once at home in 11 games in the Premier League. So, yeah, I mean, that's been a real positive. Away from home, they haven't picked up too many points. But, you know, what they have got, perhaps a surprise to few, like I say, with those wins at West Ham and Tottenham. They beat Watford earlier in the season as well, away from home. They picked up the odd point. But, yeah, they've drawn a lot of games this season. They started off the season with a lot of draws, and you know, took till actually the last time they played Leeds to get the first win, and that was, you know, much needed at that point because people were starting to worry a little bit about relegation. I think, you know, if you'd asked a few pundits at the start of the season, they probably had Southampton down as relegation candidates because losing Danny Ings, top scorer, you know, people were wondering where the goals were going to come from. But Armando Broge has come in on loan from Chelsea; he's been really good. Jay Adams has, you know, really picked up again this year. I think he's adapted now to the Premier League. It took him a while. First season, he was, you know, he played all right, but he didn't score goals. And obviously, that's what a striker's judged on. And he's now adding more to his game. We're seeing with Adam Armstrong, he came in from Blackburn last season, a very similar kind of thing that, you know, he struggled in his first season for goals, but he works hard. That's what Ralph Hasenhüttl demands in his team, you know, players working hard. And yeah, I think just before the international break, I think it was a bit disappointing, those three defeats in the league. Aston Villa, I mean, that was a horrendous performance at Villa Park. I mean, it was just one of those days where no one was at it, no one was at the races. And you couldn't quite put your finger on why, because they'd been so good up to that point for, you know, the few weeks beforehand. Maybe a bit of complacency. They sort of thought, oh, they were ninth in the table and, you know, they perhaps just took a little bit of the foot off the pedal, and you can't do that in the Premier League. You know, you get found out if you do that. And yeah, it was just one of those days. And unfortunately then for them, that had a bit of a bearing for the next few games. Hasenhüttl wanted a response, didn't quite get it. You know, Newcastle was one of those games, could have gone either way. But Newcastle have been in good form themselves, obviously under Eddie Howe. They got the points. The Watford one was just a real disappointment, really. losing 2-1 to them, I mean, they've looked a poor side all season, Watford, and to go and lose to them, I know they're fighting for their lives and battling for points, but I think a lot of Saints fans were expecting 3 points from that one. So to get none was a real disappointment. Perhaps you could say that they had one eye on the quarterfinal then in the cup against Man City, and they played well that day. But yeah, I mean, City will punish mistakes, and that's what they did. You know, Saints made a couple of mistakes and found themselves 2-1 down, and then you know, City just picked them off in the last stage of the game. And I think 4-1 was a bit of a harsh reflection of the game as a whole. I think 2 or 3-1 would have been fine, but yeah, they're out of the cup now. They've just got 9 games to focus on in the league after this international break.
So yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, the City game, I actually thought Southampton quite unfortunate, to be quite honest with you. But when you look at the Watford and the Newcastle games, they seemed pivotal. Do you think it was just the case, Robert, of Watford and Newcastle needing the points a lot more than Southampton, thus a little bit more hunger and desire?
Maybe. You could certainly see it with Newcastle, you know, that they had that feel-good factor coming to St Mary's, and they're backed by a great travelling support, even on a Thursday night, and it's a long trek down from Newcastle, but fair play to them, they had a great support down there. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those where, like I say, it could have gone either way. Saints were in the game. It wasn't like they were terrible on the night, but Newcastle took the couple of chances that they had, and then defend, you know, once they got in front, they defended it well. And yeah, you could sense that they need, you know, they were in the need for points at that point, because they defended like, you know, everything mattered for them going into that one. And Watford, yeah, similarly, I mean, it was a much worse performance from Southampton on the day against Watford. You know, they gifted them the opener, found themselves 2-0 down, got a goal back. But even in the second half, you know, you sort of thought the timing of the Southampton goal in that game just before the break, you thought, right, okay, they'll come back out now. Yes, they've had a poor first half, but they've got something to, you know, momentum with that goal. But you just didn't see it in the second half. They were just, they really didn't trouble Watford until right at the end. And, you know, you just thought, came away from that thinking, well, that was so disappointing, because Watford are a team that you would think would be there for the taking. You know, they've conceded a lot of goals. They don't win many games. And then all of a sudden, yeah, there they are. They walk away with 3 points. And I think that was the real disappointing one. Apart from that Aston Villa, I mean, Aston Villa, like I say, you can put down to being just a bad day at the office. But Watford, I think at that point you were expecting a response and then just didn't get it.
It's interesting with Aston Villa, to be honest, Robert, because we were picked off by them as well. And I was just talking to you off air about Ralph Hasenhüttl and Jesse Marsh, both coming through the Red Bull system, both from the outlook look as if they like to play a narrow, compact formation. And Aston Villa in particular, pick leads off out wide. And was that something similar against Aston Villa for you guys?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Aston Villa created a lot of chances, but again, it was more down to Southampton's poor play, really. They were just sloppy in possession, out of possession. They rarely troubled Villa going forward. Villa were creating chances at will, really. I mean, you know, they were indebted to a few good saves from Fraser Forster to keep the score down, which, you know, Saints fans have seen in the past a few, you know, horrendous score lines against them. But it could have been worse than 4-0 on the day. You know, Villa were much better all over the pitch. Coutinho had a brilliant game, and you know, he is a quality player, and he was allowed the space and time to look even better than he is, but you know, on the day. But yeah, he ran them ragged that day, really. Ran the show. Inevitably, Danny Ings got a goal against them, which was kind of half expected going into it. But yeah, it was just one of those days when Saints were just off of it all over the place, all over the pitch.
Yeah, it's interesting how it works, isn't it? Football's a funny old game. But with regards to Ralph Hasenhüttl at the minute as well, Robert, I mean, are Southampton fans impressed with what he's done so far? Are they all still backing him?
I think it's the classic football fans are a bit fickle, aren't they? After a few good results, yeah, everyone loves them. After a couple of bad results, you know, there's always a few dissenters on Twitter about, you know, on social media about the result or the performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in general, people appreciate what he's done for the club and, you know, how much he cares, because it is obvious, you know, how much he's done. And I mean, when he has the time to work with the players, obviously this is an international break, but when he has a full week before a game, you really do see the difference. Saints are, you know, they've often got good results when they've had like a clear week. When you get it can work as well when they've had, you know, a momentum of games and getting results playing midweek. But generally, when they play three games in a week, sometimes you see that that's when they start to struggle a little bit. So I think it could work in their favour that they've now got generally got a week to prepare for most games in this run-in. It's just now whether, you know, the mentality is right, because ultimately at the moment you look at the table and you think they probably are safe, unless they were to lose every game, in which case they could get dragged in. But you'd hope that with nine games to go, they'll pick up a few more points. And they're targeting a top 10 finish, which would be good for Southampton. I think it's doable, but they have got some tough games to come. They've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool still to play at home. Still got a few teams that are down the bottom fighting for points away from home. So no game is easy in the Premier League. But I think generally people will look at the job that Ralph Hasenhüttl has done. And yes, there are things you can perhaps pick apart and say, you know, was his team selection right on that day? Or did he get something wrong there? But I think in general, he's done a good job. He's improved it with what he has to work with. He's improved those players that are there. He's got a young, hungry team looking to, you know, a lot of players trying to make their mark in the Premier League. They've brought people like Tino Livramento in from Chelsea, who's done really well this season. Obviously, Armando Broja's on loan. They've brought a few players through, obviously, the academy system as well, that people, you know Southampton for. But yeah, I think he's done a good job improving the players that he's got. And yeah, I think if they can finish in the top 10 this season, you know, that would be a job well done.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's no mean feat finishing the top 10 in the Premier League, I have to say. I mean, you were just talking about Tino Livramento there. You spoke about Broja. Obviously, we know about James Ward-Prowse. Are they sort of the standard overperformers this season for you, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Broja has been very good. He has dipped a little bit in recent weeks. I don't think his form's been as good before the break. You know, obviously, the results haven't been good for Southampton, but he's looked a little bit, short of pace or anything like that, nothing like that. But I think he's just not been as good as he has been in other games. You know, he's been more effective in certain games. Against Watford, you didn't really see, you know, the difference. So, yeah, I think James Ward-Prowse, we know what we're going to get with him. He's pretty consistent every week, rarely has an off day. Obviously, he's been away with England at the moment. Everybody knows what he can do from set pieces. But I think his all-round game, you know, his energy, what he brings, his industry in midfield, what he brings to that midfield, and his leadership qualities as well can't be underestimated for Southampton. I think Mohamed Salisu at the back has been very good this season. He has made a couple of mistakes in recent weeks, which have been punished. And perhaps, you know, people sort of jumped on and sort of thought, OK, maybe he's not the finished article yet. But he's only 22 and, you know, this is his second season at the club. But he took a while to sort of get going last year after his move. He had an injury problem and then sort of was adapting to the English game. But this season, you've really seen him step up. And, you know, in some games, he's been absolutely brilliant against Man City in the league. He was very good. Not just that, you know, he's been a mainstay in the defence when he's fit, and it was noticeable that he was not there when they lost at Villa, because at that point he'd missed two games this season. They'd been beaten 3-0 and 4-0 in those two games, so I think it's clear that he has a big effect on the defence. Fraser Forster's come in and done well in goal recent weeks. He was out of the picture sort of first half of the season. Alex McCarthy was the number one, but he's been out injured, and Fraser Forster has taken his opportunity. He's obviously had a recall to the England squad after a few years away as well. So that sort of shows you the form he's been in. Oriol Romeo as well, another one in midfield. He's alongside James Ward-Prowse. The two of them, they work really well together. You know, they're a good pairing in midfield. And I think a lot of what he does goes unnoticed, because he's very good at breaking up play and winning the ball back, intercepting. But it's actually as well what he can do moving the ball forward and, you know, getting Saints on the front foot. He could drive as well from midfield, which perhaps people don't give him the credit for, because they see him more as a defensive midfielder. But yeah, he's been very good this season as well. And I think another one who's an underrated player is Stuart Armstrong in the Saints team. He's very good. What he offers Saints when he's in the team is noticeable when he's not, really, because he links up that play between the sort of midfield and the attack. He's got an eye for goal. He can create chances. And he's very dependable as well. Ralph Hasenhüttl has found this season that Mohamed Elyounoussi and Stuart Armstrong have become his kind of two preferred number 10s in the sort of system that he plays with. So it's kind of the 4-2-2-2. And those, when they're both fit, they're generally the two as the number 10s. And yeah. it's been noticeable that they've had a consistent side when they've been, obviously, and that's helped with the results, because when those two have been available and they've generally had one, you know, maybe one or two changes, but normally unchanged, the 4-2-2-2, that's when they've had that good run between early part of 2022, really.
Yeah, it's interesting with the 4-2-2-2. We're sort of developing into that now, but we're still keeping, it seems like Jesse Marsh won't fully change it from the Bielsa sort of wide exploitation that we would put on other teams, because it's so much of a change so soon. And I don't think Leeds need that right now. But the 4-2-2-2 thing is definitely something that I'm sure we'll see next season. And just reverting to the last game, Robert, I mean, Leeds fans commonly discuss this being the worst game of the season in terms of a performance from Leeds United. You know, we've lost to Everton, which was a horror show. We've been hit by Liverpool and Manchester City. But one that stands out to Leeds fans was the Southampton game at St Mary's. It was appalling from minute one to minute 90. And I don't know if you sort of share this, but it almost seemed like a little bit of a training exercise for Southampton with Salisu having the freedom of the pitch, really. I mean, what were your memories from that game?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at how bad Leeds were on the day, really. Like you say, it did almost look a bit like a training exercise for Southampton, because they were so dominant across the pitch. And I mean, how it was only 1-0, really, was the, I think, what Saints fans were walking away thinking, how did we only win that 1-0? Because, you know, we were so in control. I can't remember Leeds really threatening at all in the whole game. And I think it's sort of, Saints probably needed that kind of opposition on their day to get that win, because it was, you know, it's becoming a little bit of a concern that they hadn't won a game up to that point. They played well in games, but not actually got over the line to win it and to win one. So I think they needed a sort of game like that where, you know, they could miss a few chances when they were so in control and still win it. I remember coming away from that thinking, well, how are Leeds dropped off that much from, you know, last season where they were to this? But yeah, I mean, I know that they were missing quite a few players that day as well. I mean, Rafinha, I think, had only just come back from an international break, so he wasn't in the squad, was he? Calvin Phillips wasn't playing. It was a much changed Leeds team. But unfortunately, I think that's been the story of the season, isn't it, for Leeds, in terms of who's been out and not available. But from what I understand, there's a few of those might be back this weekend.
Yeah, there is. Unfortunately, it looks like Patrick Bamford's ruled out for 6 weeks, which is pretty much the season, which is it's a killer blow, to be honest, Robert, because I was earmarking maybe him going up against Salisu and Bednarek and maybe giving them a little bit of a hard time like he did at Elland Road last season. You know, he really is a focal point in this Jesse Marsh system and in the Marcelo Bielsa system he was as well. So that's going to be a huge miss, but it looks like we're going to be welcoming back Liam Cooper, captain, and Calvin Phillips as well, hopefully, who is the linchpin in this side. And we've utterly missed him. And to be honest, Robert, it's quite sensational that with the amount of injuries Leeds have had, we somehow have avoided being in that bottom three all season. Touch wood, that continues. But yeah, it's been staggering. I mean, the last four games you've just spoken about, and you've said that the 4-2-2-2 system has been where Southampton have been very successful this season. Do you see Hasenhüttl going back to that system for this game to sort of match Leeds United up?
Yeah, quite possibly. I think he has at times sort of varied up the season and played different formations to sort of suit when they're playing different teams. He may look at that, you know, with obviously Jesse Marsh and how Leeds might line up. But I don't expect him to sort of differ too much from kind of what has worked in the past. Yes, I know that the recent results haven't been so good, but I think in terms of personnel, you know, as long as everyone comes back from the international break okay, then you'll see a very similar sort of lineup. I don't think he'll be making wholesale changes just off the back of a couple of defeats. Even with that, the cup game, sort of, there was a bit of clamour from fans for a few changes, but actually he sort of stuck mainly with what he knew. I don't see that being too different. I think that they will go and line up. It's very similar, probably the 4-2-2-2 again. See if they can cause problems with the press, the high press. That's what they've been very good at over the last few couple of seasons with Hasenhüttl in charge. So yeah, it would surprise me if he went, you know, dramatically different away from that. I think it's what has worked for him in the past. It's sort of his principles that he sticks to. Yes, he has the ability to change it with the squad options he's got. But yeah, I would be surprised if he does for this weekend.
Mm. Interesting stuff. Is just on the back of that, Robert, is there any, I mean, obviously, I don't think you've had Hasenhüttl's press conference yet. We haven't had Jesse Marsh's, but is there any sort of expected team news, any injury news or anything like that?
No, at the moment, I think everyone, from what I understand, is no one sort of went off injured in the international games who was away. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything different there. They'll still have Lianco, the defender, has been out for a few weeks. He'll still be out on the sidelines. Don't expect Alex McCarthy to be back yet, so I think it'll still be Fraser Forster in goal. I think it'll be very similar in terms of what options he's got going into it. It's a fairly, you know, consistent side. As I say, when he's been lining up, it's been Forster in goal. At the back, Salisu and Bednarek have been the kind of preferred pairing in the centre. Then you've had either Romain Perrault, Kyle Walker-Peters or Tino Livramento, sort of two of those three as the fullbacks. He has described that as a luxury problem because he's got three very good fullbacks there. Perrault's come in and done well since his move from France. Walker-Peters has done well, whether you play him left or right back. And Tino Livramento's been brilliant this season at right back. So, yeah, I'm not sure how it'll go with that on Saturday, because obviously Walker-Peters has been away the international break with England, getting his first caps at England level, at senior level. So, he may perhaps choose to rest him. He may choose to rest Tino Livramento because he was out with an injury for quite a while and he's been away with the under-21. So, yeah, there's a decision to be made there. In midfield, I expect it to be Romero and Ward-Prowse. In the middle, probably, as I said earlier, Elyounoussi and Armstrong as the sort of two number 10s. And then you've got Adams and Brozier up top. He's got other options off the bench like Shane Long, Adam Armstrong, Nathan Redmond, people like that. But I would be surprised if he strays too far from the sort of consistent side he's had.
I mean, with regards to that team lineup you've just spoken of there, Robert, is there any, I don't know, just with Southampton generally obviously losing the last four, is there any weaknesses that you believe that Leeds United could exploit in this Saints side?
I mean, defensively, there's always been concern. They last season conceded a lot of goals. They have tightened up this year, but you've sort of seen some old habits creep in the last few games with individual errors at the back. And, you know, Watford punished them, Man City punished them, Newcastle took their chances when they had them. So, yeah, I think that you always feel with Southampton's defence that as good as they have been in certain games, there's always that, you know, room for a mistake or that something could go wrong. And all of a sudden, when they've looked really comfortable, they can gift a goal or two in, you know, the space of five, 6 minutes. And that can really change the course of a game. So I would say defensively, yeah, Leeds, we know the sort of high octane game that you get, intense game with Leeds. And they've certainly got the ability to be able to hurt Saints if they get on the front foot and attack them. I think, you know, going forward, Saints will look to try and press as they do every team and create chances, which they generally do against most sides. I can't recall too many games this season where Saints have had, you know, one or two chances in a game. They tend to create quite a bit. It's whether they can make the most of those opportunities, because if they win the ball up high, to get turnover, which they often do, it allows the opportunity to create a chance, and it's then whether they can take them. And, you know, that's why in certain games when they've had that good run of form, they've been clinical, and, you know, that's a big part of the reason why they are where they are.
Robert, is it just, you were just talking about the press there, and this is what we've seen with this, you know, with our new manager who's obviously been part of the Red Bull setup. I think you've seen it with Ralf Rangnick as well, who's tried to do it with Manchester United, but I don't think it's been that effective yet. Do you think there's a unit press? So, for example, earlier on with Marcelo Bielsa, it would be one player pressed on the left back, one on the centre back, one on the right back. Whereas with Jesse Marsh, it seems to be three or four players press on the right back or two or three players press on the left back and there's triggers. Is that very similar with Hasenhüttl Southampton?
Yeah, you see it that it's from the front. You know, Adams and Brozier are always there pushing. I mean, similarly, if it's not them, it's Armstrong and Long. You know, I mean, they played up top in the Man City game, and I think they were put up there because of how hard they work and how hard they press. You know, they force mistakes out of defenders. Likewise, El Yunusi and Armstrong, you know, it's almost like a four with those two playing in more advanced sort of midfield roles. It is like a four pressing a defence when, you know, when they are doing that high press. So, and then behind that, you still have Ward-Prowse, Romeo, you know, sort of mopping up in midfield, that one of them might go forward, the other one holds, to sort of add to that press. So, yeah, it's very much a team thing. You don't often see just individuals doing it. It's, you know, might be one starts it, but then others follow. And the amount of turnover that Saints get up high in the opposition half is testament to that. You know, it shows it works. And I think people, but you know, the good thing for Southampton is people have bought into how Hasenhüttl wants them to play, and you can see it's developed on the training ground, and you know, it's clear in games the model that he wants and how he wants his team to play.
Okay, that's been very informative, Robert. Before I ask you where people can find you, when people can find your Twitter handle, I'd like to know a score prediction.
Okay, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't see it being like, you know, 3 or 4 nil to one team or the other. I personally think it will be a draw. I think I can see it being a score draw on Saturday.
Okay.
I think Saints will get chances, but likewise, I think Leeds will as well. I think it'll be an open game. You know, there'll be two sides going at each other. I can see it being a draw. I'd say 1-1 or 2-2.
Okay, yeah, and I'm trying to think in my head whether or not I'd take that. I think there's so many of the teams in the round have got really tough games. So this is Leeds, if they're to win and get out of this, you know, predicament that they're in at the minute, it would be huge, really. So I think Everton have got West Ham. I think Watford have got Liverpool. I think Burnley have got Manchester City. So Leeds have got a real opportunity here. But yeah,
Burnley play Everton as well next week,
So I'm sort of with you, Robert. I think it's going to be a tough game. I really do. I think Southampton are a good team. And the worry for me is that last time we played you were going off the back of a fair few games without a win. And then Leeds came to town. And I'm hoping that's not the same result. It seems to be sort of threading that way with Southampton losing four on the bounce. But at the same time, you know, it's a different system. We've got players back, and hopefully Leeds can sort of take Southampton to the cleaners. But I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go with a 1-1 myself. Robert, where can people find you for all your Southampton and Leeds content?
So it's hampshirelive.news is our website, part of obviously the Reach brand. And I'm on Twitter at @rob_warlow. And yeah, we've got our Saints FC Live Twitter handle as well. So yeah, all the news is there. We post our stuff on social media, on Facebook, and yeah, we'll be there at Ellen Road on Saturday.
Make sure you check it out, guys. It's really good stuff. And Robert, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, no problem.